You're listening to the B-Fox and B-Frank show. We are fully into conference tournament season. The big boys just wrapped up the regular season on Sunday. The smaller leagues have already been rolling with some automatic bids locked up. So far, we've got four of the 68 tickets punched. Morehead State out of the Ohio Valley, Longwood out of the Big South, Stetson Hatters for the first time in school history out of the A-Sun, and Drake winning a battle with Indiana State in the Missouri Valley. It has been a crazy start. Only four teams have punched their pickets, but it has been crazy, especially the Atlantic Sun from start to finish has been nonstop madness. So salute to Stetson for making it out of there. But out of these four teams, I guess, what has grabbed your attention the most?
The storyline with Stetson is great. Jalen Blackman is a stud, a scorer. He dominated that championship game, really willed the Hatters over Austin Peay. But you have to look at the Missouri Valley. Arch Madness lived up to the hype yet again. It is one of the best, if not the best, mid-major conference tournaments year in and year out. Indiana State, a team we have talked about many times with Robbie Avila, Isaiah Swope, so many good players on that team. And then Drake comes in and just does what they do best. Tucker DeVries, another big game. Brody, a big game. And what a fun one that was. Drake leading by double digits basically throughout the game. And then all of a sudden, a nice 5-minute stretch for Indiana State gets them back in the game and gives them the lead back. And then we trade blows back and forward the rest of the way. And Drake just has enough to outwill the Sycamores. In what would be nice to be a two-bid league, I don't see it happening. Unfortunately, Indiana State just has that Illinois State blemish, which is, I think, too much to overcome. They're also 1-2 against Drake on the year. But the Bulldogs will be a popular pick for upsets with whatever 5 or 6 seed they end up getting, depending on what line they end up on.
Yeah, I mean, disappointed for sure for Indiana State because they have had such a great season. Yeah. I think this is the best possible scenario if you wanted to imagine a world where Missouri Valley gets two teams into the dance. I think Indiana State on the whole probably has a slightly better at-large resume. 29th in the net would be a lot of people, which ultimately doesn't really matter, I guess, but a lot of people would be very upset if Indiana State does not make it. But we're going to have some conversations, some tough conversations, especially if a team like James Madison falls short. Like, they probably have a better case than Indiana State to get into the dance. Even just looking at, you know, both played Michigan State, those games went different ways.
Right.
In addition to winning over 30 games on the year has to count for something. But yeah, I mean, if you're putting Drake up against a team like James Madison, that's ultimately who knocks him out. I can live with that. If you're going to put in a Texas A&M over Indiana State, I can't anymore. That's my fear.
I am so preemptively mad online about Texas A&M being anywhere near the bubble. They do not belong. They have shown us time and time again that they just are not a very good basketball team. And it's very frustrating to see something like that happen where they've had countless opportunities. A team like Indiana State, who doesn't get many, falls flat in a couple, but doesn't get the opportunity to play despite, you know, 27, 28 wins on the year. So yeah, that'll be a fun conversation. And the worry too, especially with the conversation of expanding the tournament by four teams, I think is what they're talking about, or eight, maybe something small, but not an insubstantial number, is like, okay, so at this point, we're just going to add more mediocre power conference teams and still not give the mid majors any fighting hope of getting in as an at large, because theoretically, in that world of an expanded tournament, you'd have to imagine that a team like Indiana State is already in, or at least in like that last four in discussion. You have to imagine a team like James Madison, who leads the country in wins with 30, is still in the field or has an opportunity in the field, unlike they do right now.
Yeah, I mean, in a perfect world, you know, App State, James Madison, both already in. But this is not a perfect world.
No.
Like, theoretically, that's how it should work. And that's, like, it's the same thing we're seeing right now with the college football playoff. Like, expand the field to give smaller schools like the UCFs of the world from a few years ago a shot at playing for national championship. But now it's just becoming, like, every conversation about the playoff becomes more and more exhausting because we got the 12-team playoff, and already you're hearing conversations about, you know, maybe we expand it, maybe we just change it so the Big Ten and SEC are getting, like, six guaranteed spots. Just, like,
insane.
What are we doing? Yeah. So, yeah, that's expansion for college basketball is probably going to end up the same way. I don't love that people are treating all these conversations as inevitability instead of, like, doing anything to push back whatsoever. Like, all of the journalists reporting on this and kind of throwing up their hands rather than reporting critically on it is just disappointing to see, but that's the world we live in.
Not ideal.
Yeah. Longwood, the Big South, disappointing for High Points after the season they had. One of many ones used to go down early, but Longwood, a team you shouted out earlier in the season, the way that they started on a tear, slow start to conference play, but we knew what they could be ultimately in that showed out in the tournament. So the first two ever appearances in short succession, they played Tennessee a couple years ago, got folked up, would certainly not want to see Tennessee again this year. Will confess, I don't have any idea where Longwood is going to be seed wise. I haven't looked at a bracket, but I think they will probably avoid being a 16 seed, but either way, getting in for one of the first times in school history, hasn't been eligible for very long, honestly, is pretty exciting to see.
Yeah, and they dominated a good UNC Asheville team in that championship game. It really was never close. There were some shenanigans happening in that game. We had the Jerome Bettis, like, plow through the line by, I can't remember what the guy's name is on Asheville at this point, AB maybe, something like that. And that was a flagrant 2 ejection, and that kind of put the nail in the coffin. But Drew Pember struggled, who is a very good player, and Longwood just could not miss. They did everything right defensively, very active on that end of the floor, and they were a fun team to watch. So this was a great tournament. Just like, honestly, the Ohio Valley, I think, it has gone a bit under the radar this year, strictly because of the fact that they had so many teams finishing right near the top of the standings, that you have three teams, at 14-4, then you have Western Illinois at 13-5. So, you know, your three seed is a 14-4 team that tied or split the conference title in the regular season. You end up with Morehead State, who wins it. But that was a ton of fun throughout the entire tournament because there are just so many good teams and so many equal teams that played.
Yeah, it's gotten a little less attention over the last couple of years because, you know, obviously Belmont's gone, Murray State is gone, but Murray State also sucks now. Bigly. So that's just sad for that reason. But Morehead State is kind of more or less taking the mantle in this conference. And yeah, it was a lot of beating up on Southeast Missouri State and Lindenwood this year from the top of the conference. Cause yeah, that is a race that the SEC almost ended up being in terms of crowded at the top. So that was cool to see. And yeah, Morehead State didn't get the overall one seed, even though they tied for the conference title. So kind of backed it up more or less in the tournament. And yeah, that's going to be a tough out for some big time program, understandably, when it comes to it. I had a couple other shout outs for winners from the larger schools. Just go through those quickly. Utah State, outright Mountain West champs. They were able to kind of hold on a great first season for Danny Sprinkle. Name's already getting tossed around for bigger jobs. So for their sake, hopefully he sticks around. But
did you see the end of that game?
Yeah.
What the hell was that? It didn't even come close. The free throw did not come close to hitting the rim. And like Richard Pitino just walked off the floor. Like he barely argued it and then just left. I imagine part of that is like, we're not going to be able to get 1,000 or 1,500 right. people, whatever it is, off the floor in a timely manner. And, you know, they were obviously already down 2 or whatever it was with a few seconds. So unlikely to win. But at the same time, that could have been a huge, huge, huge win for New Mexico if they found a way to get it done.
Yeah. That was ultimately just, we don't want to deal with this. Like,
right. Let's just get the hell out of here.
Which the announcer, like, I forget who was doing the game, but he kind of called it out. It's like,
yeah,
that
didn't hit the rim.
Didn't hit the rim. Didn't come close. It's like, and that's something's like, New Mexico, like, if you want to grasp at straws, but ultimately, like, you're not getting the ball in that situation. It's going to go to Utah State,
right.
And then you really have to hope for a miracle. So I'm totally, as a third party, I'm totally fine with just,
right.
All right, we're getting out of here.
I mean, now they just really have to hope they don't lose again to Air Force in the yes. Mountain West tournament, because then there's a whole game of what could have been, even though very unlikely.
But ultimately, like, it's still 100% in their hands. Like,
yeah.
just go
yeah.
out, avoid a bad loss, which most teams have been able to do against Air Force, but not all. I think New Mexico at this point is just no bad losses. Like, if they can yeah. pick up a win over Boise State too, that's great. But ultimately, I think they can play their way out of the field. Like, nobody's looking at Utah State as a bad loss. That's a tough game
right.
on the road against the best team in your conference. Boise State's been one of the best teams all year. So you can play your way out of the tournament very easily. And I know a lot of bubble teams are probably hoping that that happens, but realistically a long shot there.
Right. Right.
Kentucky's been playing really well. 5 wins in a row, capped off by holding Tennessee to 41 points, not named Dalton Knecht. And then he had 40, made it a little closer. But they've hit their groove. Hit 15 threes in this game against what is still a very solid Tennessee team defensively.
Yeah.
Reed Sheppard, Rob Dillingham coming off the bench, just – it doesn't get any easier for any opposing defense. And ultimately this seems to be the final form. Like, everything in our power, we're just going to try to outscore you. And
yeah,
it works a lot. It will ultimately at some point not work in the tournament. I just haven't figured out against which team yet. But it will happen. But until then, it's going to be a very fun ride, and they've picked up some high quality wins along the way.
Yeah, they were very impressive for sure, and have been down the stretch. I am more shocked at how bad they were against the press late in this game. This game should have been over fairly easily, and they just kept throwing the ball away, coughing it up, making bad play after bad play. I'm pretty sure Tennessee rimmed out a 3 to tie it as well, and it was just a very fortunate happening for Kentucky overall. But again, to get into that situation, they obviously played very well throughout and have been clicking on the offensive side of the ball. If they can get anything on the defensive end, they become that much more dangerous a team. But I agree that I think their ceiling is probably capped at a Final Four, and that really depends on the path that they get. It depends which teams are in the way, because you could see you theoretically could see a one and done with this Kentucky team just based on how feast or famine they are. Like, if you get and I don't think this will happen, but if you get a Samford team in the tournament that likes to run, likes to score, and can get hot against Kentucky, they could be in trouble very early.
They are high floor, low ceiling. or no, high ceiling, low floor type of team. And like Iowa State, I would throw in there too for the exact opposite reason. But yeah, my last shout out, North Carolina.
Yeah.
Won the ACC outright, six straight wins to end the year. Won at Duke, thanks to Cormac Ryan, just going off as he has before against Duke. 31 points, 6 of 8 from 3. Big win for the Heels. Kyle Filipowski now just going full heel was my other note of the game. Like, it happens. Nobody had a problem with him before this year, and it's something that people are, I think, justifiably worried about with Cooper Flagg, because right now everybody loves him. He's very nice with it, very fun to watch. But
yeah,
this could build. This
how long does it take? I mean, there is a culture there. This is something we have seen. This is not a one-off instance at all for Duke. And the question is, can Cooper Flagg avoid it? And if so, how do we keep this moving forward? Because it is brutal watching just the drastic and dramatic downfall of Kyle Filipowski because of just dumb shit, to put it bluntly. Like, this none of this stuff should happen. None of this should really be a thing. And yet he continues to do it and make it bigger than it should be. I do think we still need to have the conversation, is Duke a good basketball team? Because they haven't beaten anyone since Baylor 3 months ago. And they played in a horrible ACC. They found ways to lose games in that, despite all of their talent and all of that. And they didn't beat North Carolina at all. They struggled against the Heels in both games. And this was yet another... not to mention the post game scenes of just tossing shit on the floor. Oh, yeah. It's an all time bad move. There are just, Duke finds ways to continuously go lower and lower and get people to dislike them more and more. And I think that's more of what we saw. And it's a shame that it overshadows what North Carolina did, because this has been a very good year for Hubert Davis and his team. You lose a guy like Caleb Love, and RJ Davis steps up and thrives in this situation. You find a couple other guys, Harrison Ingram. You get, like you mentioned, Cormac Ryan to click a little bit. And then Baycott in down low is just a continued force. So it's a shame to see it happen like that. But all credit to North Carolina, because Duke is really the only quality team left in the ACC outside of them. And they were able to find ways to not just win, but play really well in both of those games.
And North Carolina making a late push for some maybe outside consideration for that last one seed with Arizona and Tennessee. Arizona suffering a pretty bad loss to USC late in the season. And ultimately, like, conference tournaments don't really matter, especially when you won the league, like, despite what – non-Kansas Big 12 teams will try to tell you, but
right.
So I don't know if, you know, if North Carolina wins the ACC tournaments, Tennessee and Arizona falter, maybe that's the bump they need. But either way, they're playing good basketball at the right time. Duke, we're already on the topic, but they were, I had them written down for later just in case, but like, they should not be any higher than a 4 seed. They're gonna like fall ass backwards into a 2 seed somehow.
Yep.
So not too long ago,
get hot, they'll win the ACC tournament, and then
yeah,
that'll happen.
Not too long ago, like, everything was pretty mellow. And now, like, over the last month or so, like, Duke is back to being Duke, and not in terms of like winning things, but being hated. And I feel for Shire, because he almost seems like he has Stockholm syndrome. I still like, I find myself liking the guy, but Kyle Filipowski is just, he's been watching too much Grayson Allen highlight mixtapes of just tripping people. It's possible to avoid this. Two of my favorite Duke players of all time, Luke Kennard, absolutely nice with it, absolute killer, and Ryan Kelly, who I look go out there and be like, Yeah, you know, if I squint, I could probably do that.
Yeah.
Be huge and knock down three.
One of us.
Be awesome. Yeah. Yeah. Ryan Young, on the other hand.
Nope. No.
Still got that Northwestern stink all over you, big man. But yeah, it's this is now. I don't think we fully got it last postseason. Everyone was kind of like, oh, cool, when they lost. But now I think there's going to be a lot more people like actively rooting against Duke in the tournament. So that'll be big for, you know, Stetson or whoever.
Yeah.
To draw them first round.
Yeah, absolutely.
So kind of going into what is normally our loser section, just want to highlight some, you know, there's the good of conference tournaments. There's the bad, which has been just falling short after amazing regular seasons. Just to highlight a few so far, Eastern Kentucky losing their first game in the A-Sun, High Point losing early in the Big South, App State losing early in the Sun Belt, Eastern Washington losing early in the Big Sky.
The Big Sky was chaos last night. As we recorded.
The super crazy thing is, like, not only do you not make the NCAA tournament, but because the bullshit changes with the NIT, now you don't even get to see these teams here. And I know this is an admission that I am a degenerate, but my favorite thing in the world to do is just hammer the line with these teams that are very good and still care about playing postseason basketball against bigger schools who are all the way checked out. And
yeah,
now I probably can't do that anymore, because if the NIT had a shred of integrity, which I don't think I'm not confident they do, like they would put High Point in there. And give someone absolute hell for 40 minutes. But I'm worried now that that's just not going to happen. Even if it benefits Indiana and they sneak into the NIT, like, I don't care about that. That does nothing for me. I'd rather see these teams that had one of their best seasons in school history be rewarded.
Yeah. It's been hectic. March has arrived quickly and loudly. Like I mentioned, the Big Sky last night was absolute chaos. In the Southland, we had 4-14 New Orleans win a game, which is insane. Yeah. Just everywhere. East Tennessee State was 8-10 in the SoCon. They're in the championship tonight as we record against Samford, a team that you and I both talked about quite a bit. 6-12, Texas A&M Commerce has won a game. Like, there are these lower seeds finding ways to win games in each of these conference tournaments, and it's been a lot of fun so far. So long may the madness continue, unless it comes to bid stealing. Then I'm very anti bid stealing, and Seton Hall sits firmly on the bubble.
Yeah, and like, a lot of people are getting up in arms, like, oh, you gotta change this. Just give the automatic bid to the best teams. Like, there's no way you're going to get a consensus of coaches in your conference to agree on it, because everyone is aware they're not going to be the best team every year. And if you are, you're going to leave and get a better job anyway. So what do you care? But
yeah.
Not to mention,
what are we doing with three-way ties like we have in the Ohio Valley?
Right. Exactly. I guess like a round robin or something. Yeah. this is exciting because, you know, this is an unfortunate consequence. And, you know, the Southland, I don't know how long they've been doing this, but they have a similar model to the West Coast Conference, which is just giving the 1 and 2 seeds buys to the semifinals, which you could do that in other conferences. It's no guarantee of anything changing here, because the thing that gets left out with a lot of that is West Coast Conference is not a one-bid league. Gonzaga and St. Mary's, in whatever order, are usually leaps and bounds better than the rest of the conference. So it's not really giving them an unfair advantage, because they do this every year. We're in ideas season, like we were after the NBA All-Star game. How can we make this better? Now people are having some thoughts on conference tournaments. It's ultimately fine. It's unfortunate for some of these schools. The NIT thing is really what bothers me more.
Yeah.
But like that is something you can change. I don't think anything needs to be changed with the the conference tournaments themselves, because would I have ever cared about a Lipscomb North Alabama game otherwise? I would not have.
No. The answer is no.
Do you have any other notes for losers? I had a couple. Washington State could have been Pac-12 champions. They lose to Washington, and then was this a situation where Mike Hopkins got fired like right after?
Yeah.
That always makes you feel good when you're on the other team. It's like we lost and he's still gone. Just couldn't get anything going. 4 of 24 from 3, 8 of 17 from the line. Kind of a lackluster finish to the season. 2 bad losses. One to obviously Washington, the other to USC, to take a lot of the wind out of the sails for the Cougars. It's not going to be a super long run in March if they are playing like this. I hope beyond hope they get a draw that I can talk myself into for at minimum the first round. You know, they're maybe just quick little spin zone. Some on the fly here. Maybe this will work out better that they've probably played themselves out of a 5-12 matchup. Maybe now they'll get an 11 seed who's not Indiana State and is just beaten up and done with the season. I don't know what other high major teams are in that neck of the woods. Like a Mississippi State. I wasn't going to say Seton Hall.
No, I know.
I want to say Virginia even, but then I know Virginia would take that, which gives me joy. Tony Bennett doing it to his old school. But yeah, like some team like that, just let me see the Cougs at least advance around in the tournament, and then you know what could happen, and maybe they'll play kind of transition here. I don't know what they're, I just have not been paying attention to bracketology because my team is nowhere close. but Kansas, if Kansas is a potential 3 seed in the next round, Kansas is in all kinds of trouble. They got boat raced by Houston, lose by 30. Hunter Dickinson dislocated his shoulder, getting an MRI. Kevin McCullough re-aggravated an injury, didn't play in the second half. That is 2 of your 4 good players. So they're still going to get a good seed because overall they've had a good season. Probably will not last very long in the Big 12 tournament because ultimately at this point, playing a lot of games is probably the worst thing for them as they're trying to get healthy.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's a team that could be susceptible to maybe a first round upset, but more than likely a second round. It's going to give them a lot of trouble. But that's a team that we've kind of been monitoring for a while now, and they have done their best to keep their head above water with some of the depth issues they've had, but Houston's a very good team, but that was very jarring and really highlighted the underlying issues that Kansas has been dealing with.
Yeah, I mean, at this rate, you got to use the Big 12 tournament as just like a resting period for your star players, but also you got to start integrating other guys. Like that is your only hope at this point, that you can catch lightning in a bottle. Some guys get hot off the bench or can become reliable pieces for 10, 15 minutes in a game and just give yourself some depth, because right now Kansas doesn't have it and they are running out of time.
Yeah, you got to get Furphy, Timberlake to get some confidence, give you some consistency, because probably going to play Cincinnati in your first game, which is going to be a battle. The coach can change the way they play, really has not much. They're still a very defensive minded bunch under Wes Miller and have been acclimating themselves pretty well into year one in the Big 12, despite not being on the tournament periphery really. But you gotta hope somebody really goes off and gives themselves some confidence this week. Cause like, even if Dickinson and McCullough come back, it's hard imagining they're going to be fully 100%, especially McCullough.
Yeah. Yeah. I, I would probably throw the combo of South Florida and Villanova on the loser list.
Yeah, South Florida for sure.
South Florida loses to Tulsa in an ugly one. Just a game you really can't lose, especially if you're really trying to get on the outside in to the bubble. They are definitely on the outside, and I think that should just about do in their at-large hopes. And then Villanova, they no show for the first 10 or so minutes against Creighton, find a way to come back, take the lead late in the second half, and then they fall flat down the stretch in a game that really could have put them in the NCAA tournament field with a win. And instead, they can't get it done.
That might be, giving up a massive lead and losing is the worst way to lose. But like that's probably right there. It's like,
yeah.
You finally figure it out. You come all the way back, and even take the lead. And then at the last second, it's ripped out from under you. Just so deflating. The second you start to find some hope, that's absolutely brutal. I have all the empathy in the world for you there, but yeah, it's South Florida is another team I really want to see get in. And really it was just got to avoid bad losses, and should be fine. This was a pretty bad loss.
Yeah.
But they're still in good position. I think at minimum, you have to make it to the championship game and lose to FAU. Any other result, you're probably out of the tournament.
Yeah.
Fair or not, but yeah, I obviously take that out of the equation, just win the whole thing. But yeah, now they are a team that bubble teams are going to be rooting against very hard.
Big time, big time. It's officially bid stealer season, especially in the American, because I think just FAU is the only team right now that has a chance at an at-large. Maybe Memphis, but I think they've done too much damage over the last few weeks.
Don't give Memphis an at-large. We can.
I don't want to.
Take yourself seriously, committee. You can't do
Memphis, Texas A&M, do not consider these teams.
No, I definitely not. I'm taking a quick peek at some bracketology because I've just been operating under like a who's in and not really thinking about seeds too much, but
yeah,
like I am rooting very hard for Indiana State to get in, obviously. South Florida, should they falter, I think it would be a great story if they make the tournament. And yeah, I want, despite all evidence to the contrary, I want the Mountain West to just maximize the number of teams they get in.
Yeah.
Like they are so fun to watch during the regular season. They're not a traditional power conference. So I think get in, give me some decent draws for teams not named San Diego State. So we have something to latch onto. And I will be happy. Just win. Someone else win a couple games. That'll be fine. Like Boise State, Utah State. Looking at you. Like as I'm trying to talk myself into this, I know what's going to happen ultimately. But this is the time of year where we can still dream about certain things. So that's what I'm going with.
Yeah, I mean, we've got Colorado State, who looks safely in the field, who is the 7 seed in the Mountain West tournament this week. That's always something.
UNLV bid stealer. That's another.
That would be a nightmare.
Like I saw a couple of people like floating them out as an at-large team. It's like it's too late for that.
But that's
someone that would really be worried about because out of the trying to think what other conference could maybe have one. Out of the not really anybody that scares me out of the big boys.
It's the American, the Mountain West,
Atlantic 10.
Yeah.
For sure. Cause I think it's Richmond get the one seed.
They did.
Dayton's the one team that's in, but like a Loyola could definitely steal it.
That I think is it.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess the Pac-12, if anyone
not named,
Washington State, Colorado, or Arizona win.
Yeah, if I mean, USC has been playing better of late. If they get hot, Utah, Oregon, there's less to go through. But I look at like the other conferences, and there's at least like a final boss at some point standing right in the way. And Arizona is fun, but just erratic enough. I mean, it's going to be a great week out of us. Some fun finals starting tonight as we start to punch more tickets. And then, of course, next week we'll have a bracket. We'll have things to get mad about, I'm sure. We'll have a lot to look forward to and get excited about. This is truly the best time of year. Very excited to be here and share it with you guys. So we'll talk about it next week.